high school. All of those things, that's a great opportunity for us to reach out and say, hey, why don't you join me at Crossroads Church? All right, here we are in a three-week series called The Lies We Believe and the Truth That Sets Us Free. And so this week's lie number three that we all believe is this: I want what's coming to me. Who's ever said something like that? Come on, we've all done that, right? You might have said it under your breath. I remember, can you picture little old seven-year-old Ronnie? I did this. I want what's coming to me. My mom had taken me to the dentist that day, and well, there's a long story behind me and dentist, and my dad was stationed at Aberdeen Proving Grounds, and I was so bad when I go to the dentist that they refused to treat me. And so we had to find a dentist off of the base, and so they found one, and when I would go in, I noticed that there was four people waiting. And then they would like manhandle me to the chair and then put a mask over me and put me to sleep. My mom, as we're driving to the dentist appointment, and my dad wasn't with her, and so, you know, she knew this was going to be tough. And she says, Ronnie, look, if you'll just kind of behave, I will buy you a toy on the way home. Now, my kind of behave was it only took her and two others, all right? But she said after I woke up that, you know, that was the best you've done, Ronnie, thank you. And so little old seven Ronnie, we're driving home, and mom's running late for something. And I said, what about my toy? And she goes, Ronnie, I don't have time right now. I said, Mama, I want what's coming to me, and I want it now. All right? And so bless my mom's heart. You know, she should have stopped the car and whooped me, but she didn't like my dad would have. Instead, she pulled into Toys R Us. She runs. She goes, look, you got to stay out here. This got to be quick. She runs in and gets the toy. I still remember the toy to this day. It was a little car about this size, and it had a little guy's head, and when you pushed it, it just bounced up and down. Now, folks, I was not excited with that toy. I don't think I ever used that toy again once I got out of the car. But as a seven-year-old, I said, I want what's coming to me. And I got it. And it wasn't what I really wanted. Have y'all seen or heard about that? They're doing this now. And I know some of y'all parents have tried this. The marshmallow test. The marshmallow test is you put your kids up against the counter, on the counter, and in front of the counter. And you put a marshmallow in front of them. And then you got this all on camera. And then you say, look, I'm going to be back in a minute. And if you don't eat that one, when I come back, they can either have two or they can have the whole bag. It doesn't matter. You walk out, and then usually, I saw my daughter-in-law did this with our grandsons, and one of them, you know, was a good holding fast, and the other one wasn't, all right? And they both, well, you know how it goes. We do that in our Christian life. This life is the marshmallow event. God says, I've got something special for you. If you'll just obey me here on earth, when you get to the other side, it's going to be worth it. And you know what happens? We wait a year, we wait 2 years, and we think, oh, you know, the kids, a minute is like that. I mean, 30 seconds, and they're like, holding on, when's mom and dad coming back? I mean, we're doing that with God with our lives, and we scarf up the marshmallow. We start chasing what we want. Folks, this isn't something new in 2023. This started 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, and I'm just going to read verse 6 this week. I've been telling you this story. Remember how Adam, she gets confronted by Satan? And here is the third confrontation. The first time he questioned God's word, then he denied God's word, and then he changed God's word. And so here's what happened. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, this is the same strategy that Satan uses on all of us. He's got three tactics. He's been using them for 6,000 years very effectively. He used them in the Garden of Eden. I'm going to show you that he used them against Jesus Christ in human form. And he has been doing this in your life over and over again. And in the way that she said, she saw the tree that was good for food. She wanted her own way. The second thing is, and that it was a delight to the eyes. She wanted everything. And then the last thing it says here is, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. Now think about this. Eve is already the smartest person on earth. Some of y'all are thinking about that. There's only one other person that she's competing with, all right? And she was the smartest one. And then Satan says, look, if you eat this, it's going to make you wise. God's holding out on you. And she ate the marshmallow. And we're all paying for it. But the truth of the matter is we all eat the marshmallow. We want to be important. We think that God's holding out on us. And Satan used his strategy, the pride of life, the desire to be wise, to desire to be thought of higher than you think people currently think about you. He doesn't have to change his strategy, guys. It's so easy. Fast forward 4,000 years and join me in the book of Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 9, it says this, and he took him into Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle. Now, what had just happened? He had just shown him all the dominions of the earth, and he's in a moment of time, and then now he transports him to the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem, and he says to him, if you are the Son of God, Jesus is about to start his ministry. Jesus has lived a full life of 30 years up to this point, and now he knows it's about time. And Satan didn't, when he spent 40 days fasting and he says, turn these rocks into bread, that didn't work on Jesus. When he said, look at all of this dominion, I will give it to you if you'll just bow down and worship me. Jesus didn't do that. And now here, he tries to use pride on Jesus. And he says, if you're the Son of God. You see, Satan didn't really know. Satan had been trying to kill Jesus since the children of Israel went to Egypt. He tried to kill Jesus when he was born. And if he would have known who Jesus was, he would have tried to kill him. And so now he's wanting to find out, am I going to waste my resources on this guy, or is he really the Son of God? And the Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted in every way just like us. And just like it was hard for Eve when she had the fruit in front of her, and she was promised this will make you wise, just like it's hard for each of us when we encounter the marshmallow that God says, don't do it. I got something better for you. He presents, he questions Jesus. If you are the Son of God. Throw yourself down from there. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. Oh, beautiful song. He could have called 10,000 angels. You may have heard that before, where when Jesus is hanging on the cross, the song talks about that. And it says at any point during that time, Jesus could have called on 10,000 angels and they would have responded. But he didn't do that. He didn't take the marshmallow because he knew what was on the other side. He knew that your salvation and my salvation and the salvation of billions of people counted on him leaving the marshmallow alone. Counted on him not getting his way. Verse 11, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him. Now I want you to pay attention. The first two lies, when Jesus answered, he said, it is written. It is written. And this time he's saying, it is said. Oh, I don't know if you got what he just said, but he's not talking about that God says this. He says, I am God and I say this. I just answered your question. I am the Son of God. And you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Oh, church. There's one time that God said, test us, and that's the only time we don't test him. We test him with the marshmallows. We test him with the candy-coated sin. We test him with the things that we think that he's holding out on us. And we don't trust him that he's got a better plan for us. We don't trust him that, yeah, the wheels fell off on life, but he needed you broke down beside the highway because somebody who needs to hear about Jesus is coming. And instead, we're worried about being late at the birthday party. Let me tell you the truth. A little further in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, and Jesus says these words. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. Now, I want you to think about this, and I want you to think about this a little bit differently than you normally have probably thought about this story or this parable before. Jesus is telling the story about a lost coin, about a lost sheep, and now he's telling a story about a lost son. And he starts off and he says, there's two sons, a younger and an older. And what's interesting is, I think that we're either one of these, and sometimes we've been both of them. Sometimes younger, in our younger years, you know, we tell God, I mean, look at it. I was in Bible college. I quit Bible college to run from God. And where'd I run to? The military, where no one would tell me what to do. That marshmallow didn't taste as good as I thought it was going to taste. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me. I don't know about you, but just reading that makes my blood boil. Just reading that, and I'm like, oh. And in this culture, that didn't happen. The younger son come to his dad with that request, and he's going to get ran out with rods and not welcome back. Jesus is telling a different story. He's telling the God's economy story. And here's what he says. And the father divided his property between them. I want what's coming to me. And it wasn't a throat punch that the father gave him. It wasn't a kick in the pants. He gave him what he asked for. A younger son, I don't know how the process went, but he pretty much the value that the father probably had was real estate. And so the son puts that up for sale, gets the money from it. I mean, could you just see the arrogant, cocky, younger son? With his bag of money, telling dad, I'll see you later. I'm out of this town. I can't wait till I can get out of Centralia. Then he got out into the big city. And he lived a life. Now we call this story the prodigal son. And I don't know about you, but I just always thought that word prodigal meant that like wild, bad living. But what it means is without restraint. And I'll also say this, it's not in the Bible. But the younger son lived a life without restraint. He bought everything he wanted. He bought every candy-coated sin you can think of. But sooner or later, the marshmallow ends and the boy's money ran out. When that money ran out, he didn't go back to dad. He went and got a job. I know that sounds like a four-letter word, and it's only three. And the job he got wasn't a very glamorous job. Matter of fact, for a Jewish boy away from home, he probably got the last possible job that he would ever want and probably could get. And he got a job feeding pigs. I imagine when he was feeding those pigs, when this first started, he thought about the good times. Oh, ooh, those were some wild times back there. And then he quit thinking about that, and he started thinking about, I think I'm going to be feeding pigs the rest of my life. And then he went from thinking like that to thinking like, you know what? I think the servants at my dad's house eat better than I'm eating right now. They probably live better than I'm living right now. In verse 17, it says, but when he came to his senses. Have you ever come to your senses? I did this with my dad. I was a mama's boy growing up, and then all of a sudden, when I think I was about 23, my dad became the smartest man in the world. He was the dumbest guy from the time I was 16. And about the time I hit 21, somewhere there in 21 and 23, smartest man. When my car broke down, I'm fixing my car over the phone. We didn't have the FaceTime where he could, you know, hey, show me you're doing the wrong nut there, buddy. Yeah, I didn't find out until the wrong piece came off. This young brother comes to his senses. And listen to what he says. How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough food, but I perish here with hunger? We have that moment. I want what's coming to me. And then we get it. And we get to enjoy it. No, it tastes so good. And sooner or later, the taste goes away. Sooner or later, the resources to acquire the taste goes away. Sooner or later, we'll come to our senses. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. I want you to understand something. Home is not a place. Home is a relationship. See, he thought about the house, but what he really thought about was the relationship with his father. As a matter of fact, he was selling that short because he was telling himself, look, I'll just go and work as a servant. I'll be a hired hand for my dad, and I'll live better than I'm living here. The reality is many of us come back to Christ the same way. Like, God, I have not lived for you for the last 10 years, and you know what? I'm just going to come into the church, and I'm going to work hard for you. I'm here to tell you that God's going to meet you the same way that this father did. It says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. I don't know about you, but when Dave was sharing that story about the little handkerchief, I needed one. And I want you to know, maybe you're on the train today. And it's driving by Crossroads Church. And your father has cut up all the bed sheets, all the pillowcases. And he's hung it on anything that'll hold one. And the question is, are you going to get off the train? Are you going to accept the Father's compassion? Are you going to keep eating the marshmallows? Are you going to keep going back to your candy-coated sin? Folks, we're not long for this earth. And I'm not talking about if anything bad happens. I don't have any information. But stock up on toilet paper. I'm joking. Just a little bit. Got a call from a dear friend, his daughter-in-law, this morning. Dropped her purse and the weapon that was in that went off and a bullet went up her leg and into her abdomen. 30-year-old, 4 children. Folks, we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. Get off the train. The marshmallows, yeah, they taste good, but they are not worth giving up what you're going to experience for eternity with Christ. Amen. Give up the candy-coated sins. You don't even like them, and you know what I'm talking about. Like, soon as you're done with it, like, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Just say no to it. Let me tell you about God. Psalm 106. Psalm 106, if you read the first 14 verses, it goes over the history of Israel. And it talks about how that, you know, God had done this for them and all the mighty works that God had done for them. And folks, I can go through and over the last 4 years, I can recount to you the mighty works that God has done here at Crossroads Church. I can get witnesses about the mighty works that God has done in each and every one of your lives. I've watched your families come to God. We filled up that baptistry time and time again so that your families who've come to God can take that step of obedience. But yet this is where we're at in verse 15. And it says, he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Oh, you can say it all you want. God is going to let you have the marshmallow. God is going to let you chase the sin. God is going to sell his portion and give it to you if you ask. He'll give you what you want, but he'll send leanness into your soul. I walked through those years of leanness. While I was in Bible college, I prayed to God. I said, God, get me out of here. 3 days later, my mom calls and says, I need you to come and stay with your dad. I've got to move to Virginia for a couple of months to help your sister out with a pregnancy. To my mom's dying day, she thought she was the reason why I left Bible college and never went back. God gave me my request. And in his mercy, when I run to the military trying to get as far from God as I can, I get to my first duty station over at Scott Air Force Base. I'm on a date with this hot blonde. And after the concert, we kind of say in unison to each other, I got something to tell you. I don't know which one went first, but she shared with me that just the other night at church, she had given her life back to God on that side of the altar. And I said, well, I was going to tell you that I just did that the other night at church on this side of the altar. And in God's mercy, for the next 28 years, he allowed me to serve in churches all across this country. He allowed me to preach in Afghanistan. And even though I ran from him, he prepared me so that in 2019, I could hit the ground in Centralia running. Amen. And I'm here to tell you that that same Father is waiting for you. That same Father wants you to get off the train. I don't know what the rest of your life looks like, but I can tell you this, that if you'll live it for God, it will be incredible. Will there be tough times?
Yep.
You better, matter of fact, if there's not tough times, you might want to get back to God and say, hey, am I going in the right direction? Because right now things are a little too good. Let me ask you this. Do you know somebody that needs to get back with God? I thought there'd be more than that in this church. You stand to your feet. Here's how I want to close. Worship team's going to come forward and they're going to sing God is So Good again. And so here's what I would ask that you would do. Join us. I'm going to be right up here at the altar. There's some folks I need to be praying for. If you ever got off the train and the white handkerchiefs were waiting for you and God has been using you, I would encourage you, who is it that God wants you to be praying for right now? Who is God going to bring into your life? Who is God going to put on your heart and say, you know what, this is the person you need to invite to Friend Day? We do all these crazy things on